standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Right behind the glass is a Wednesday edition of the program. I've never been more excited for 3 o'clock to come around than today. Usually I'm very excited for the show to come around. Okay. I'm always excited.
Yeah.
But today I was like on another level of excitement. Brian's over here talking about how he struggled against Boston College, but blew out Miami. You're talking about running up the score.
Yeah.
It was video game talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
oh,
played
my
Dell
goodness.
Last, played Dell last night.
3 o'clock,
yeah,
better
right.
Get here
it's entertaining.
Fast.
Let me tell you something, though. My Houston Cougars are the 8th-ranked team in the nation.
Go Cougs.
So go Cougs.
There you go. Go Cougs. I like it. We'll talk about real things now instead of these mother basement video game players.
Sorry.
Lots to get to today. We'll talk some football today because football is right around the corner. You know, training camp starts next week.
Rookies already report.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But next week,
what are they going to do with each other, though? Just kind of like hang out?
What do they do? Like, there's not that many rookies.
Yeah,
there's other guys there.
They got some undrafted free agents. I'm sure some of the vets come. But what are they, just like 12 of them, like, hey, I'm sure they watch a lot of film, playbook stuff.
Yeah, like the basics.
This is what you should expect. Yeah. Get a lift in.
This is the definition of swarm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get to
test at the end.
I'll give you my top 32 quarterbacks.
Can't wait.
Projected starting quarterbacks. Who are you projecting to starting quarterback in Vegas?
So when I did the list, I did projected for all 32 except for that one. Because I think Mendoza will start a majority of the season.
I went with Cousins.
So I went Mendoza.
Because I went like week one starters.
Okay. So
yeah, I went Mendoza too.
Yeah, I put Mendoza on my list.
I think Cousins is going to start more games.
I think he's going to start the season. I think it'll end up being Mendoza by a hair.
Want to bet?
A low nut, like something small. I'm not passionate about this one. This is not a $25. This is a beer bet.
Okay.
I'll do a beer bet.
All right. Cousins starts more games than Mendoza. Can we throw in an injury caveat?
Of course.
I definitely, that helps just, Jeremy with the old man, though.
Well, no, I mean, it's just fair.
It is fair. But of the two, you probably bet more often.
You want to say if one of them hits the IR, it's Boyd?
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, so season? Because the thing
IR just period.
Because he can return from the IR.
Because as soon as Cousins gets hurt and he misses one game, he's not getting his job back. That's going to hurt.
And that would void.
Yeah.
Well, unless he doesn't hit the IR.
Right, but he's saying
if it's a sprained ankle and he missed 2 weeks and he doesn't start again, that would help you.
Yeah, okay, I'm fine with IR.
Okay, an IR. One of them hits the IR, it's void.
Okay, IR void.
And it's a drink bet.
Okay.
All right.
Brian, are you going on this?
I'll jump in.
How are we going to do that?
But that complicated because now Jeremy would have to buy two.
Yes, Jeremy buy two and we would buy him two.
What are you trying to get me drunk? No, that sounds fine. I'm good with that.
You're not BMAC. You're not a lightweight.
Come on.
Great point.
Oh, my God. No, Brian, it's not a great point.
It's a great point.
It's a terrible point.
It's a great point.
It's 100% right.
That's a great
it's
point.
Not.
Of the three
it's
of us, you're the biggest lightweight.
Dude. I don't
you get
argue.
Buzzed.
I don't argue.
Especially now that you've lost like a good amount of weight,
you're
going to be even a lighter weight.
He gets buzzed off a prickly pear.
I will agree that you guys are less lightweights than I am phrasing. I don't know if that works. But I push back on the idea that I was buzzed at that one remote.
It's a long way to say you're the biggest lightweight of the three of us.
No, I agree with that part.
But we'll do that a little bit later. I do have a plan. I'm getting roasted on the internet because I said that the Astros should sell by a guy who predicted the Astros to win 106 games this season. So I don't know if that really matters. Lion doesn't care about the opinion of a sheep. But I do have a trade deadline buy track. Yeah. In fact, I have one for each way, but we're going to spread it out a little bit. Since the Astros have won two in a row, we want to buy.
Yeah, buy.
So I do have a buy track. I have a sell track. I have a hybrid track. But today, because we're all in on the Astros again, I'll give you my buy track a little bit later. Look at some college football stuff. But we begin with the Houston Astros, where Tatsuya Imai, really, Imai pretty good. Imai, Japanese for pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty – if he pitches like he did last night,
he does.
I think the Astros might be on to something.
Yeah, and I'm just going to bet the over 5.5 strikeouts in every game like I did last night for Tatsuya Imai.
What was the odds on that?
It was plus 113.
You got plus money?
Yeah.
Nice.
So cash that. He felt like he had it pretty good control. like of the slider at least. It was good yesterday. Like you said, if he pitches like that.
If he pitches like that, they got a pretty good chance. That,
they can go toe-to-toe in the American League. If Hunter Brown pitches like he used to, and Emi pitches like that, and Lambert pitches like he does, they can go all the way.
It's really crazy how he's so up and down. You know, he actually has a winning record on the year. I think that would surprise most people. He has a winning record on the year. He's 6-4.
That surprises me.
Yeah, right? Like, he has a winning record on the year somehow. And if you look at his starts, like his ERA is no good. It's 5.59. I guess where it used to be, that's not the worst thing in the world. But if you look at his 14 starts, he has like 5-6 of them. They're like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he does.
So he's like randomly pretty good.
And but then when he's bad, he is the worst pitcher in baseball.
Facts.
Like he has multiple games this year where he hasn't gotten out of the first.
Facts.
Or at least the second.
So like, that's kind of the fun of Emi. You know, Emi's Japanese for a wild card.
Yeah.
Emi's Japanese for you never know what you're going to get.
It's just like his slider is the perfect description of just him as a pitcher. He has no idea where it's going to go. We have no idea what you're going to get.
No idea what you're going to get.
Some days he's going to get you one out, two outs, four outs. Some days, six innings, eight Ks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good.
Emi's Japanese for a roller coaster. Because sometimes he looks like he did yesterday, and then sometimes, like you said, Joe, he looks like the worst pitcher in all of baseball.
We have the Yordan rules. We might have to do, like, the Emi definition.
What are the – oh, yeah.
Of, yes. Like, everything Emi stands for. Suck, roller coaster, pretty good.
It depends on the day.
Wild card. It just depends on the day. That's why it can be so many different things.
713-780-3776. Emi's Japanese for blank. 713-780-3776. We'll see what we hear. No, but that was good. Miller talked about after the game. Read this in the Houston Chronicle. Matt Kawahara had it. Josh Miller presented him with some changes coming out of the All-Star break. Just reminded him, quote, of his pitch mix in the NPB last year. How we still think the slider is special, but he might need some other offerings to help it play up here. Maybe it would allow his fastball, his slider, to play better if he used some of the other pitches. Yesterday, he threw a couple of change-ups. He threw change-up splitters, all to lefties, which is, like, way more than he has. But he did it mostly, like, the third time through the lineup. Mm-hmm. He mixed some in the second time through the lineup, but the third time through the lineup is whenever he did it the most. So, yeah, you know, going with the splitter, going with the change-up a little bit more often. Emi said, I wasn't satisfied with the first half of the season. For the last half of the season, I just want to get two more W's and keep performing better.
Please. Emi stands for Winston. He wants to eat W's.
Jameson.
So that's what he wants to do.
Not a good joke.
I thought it was.
That's not.
I thought that was.
That's not even going to be the early leader of the dad joke of the day.
Joke.
No. No. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. But no, really good from Emi. You know, bullpen did enough. Blue ball kind of made it a little nervy there.
Yeah.
But you still got the job done. Able to get out. You'd have to use Hader, though. So he's probably unavailable today.
That's what we talked about yesterday, right? It was like, you used him in a 4-run game. Was it really necessary? If you had to use him today, which they did, or yesterday, like, he's not going to be an option. He only threw 12 pitches, but this would be the first time, if he pitched today.
They're not using him 3 days in a row.
Yeah, that'd be the first time this season, so that's not happening.
No. Peter Lambert, Astros ace, goes toe-to-toe with Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah, and he's tonight. Pretty nasty, too.
He's been pretty good. People are calling me on my show, spam risk. So we'll see what it looks like today. How about Yordan Alvarez hustling out of the box yesterday?
Yeah.
Drop third strike, hustles out of the box. I liked what he was doing,
too. It wasn't like full hustle.
He was slow to hustle.
Because he just didn't realize it.
He was slow to hustle, but then once he picked it up, he was busted down the line.
Yeah, he's got like...
He kind of didn't like it.
No.
I don't really love when Yordan goes full throttle.
But I appreciate it.
And he kind of stepped on that dude's foot. You notice that?
Yeah, I did.
It was like a little bit of like a little... I was like, oh, that didn't look great. But he was also heads up on how he was running. Did you notice that he was way off
he
to the right?
In, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like trying to get in the way of the throw. But what was cool about it, two things I thought were cool about it. One, Zach DiZinzo the other day didn't run on a drop third strike, a 4A player. And then you have the best hitter in all of the world hustling down the first base line on a drop third strike. But then what was really great is Isak Paredes comes up, hits a 3-run dinger. Mm-hmm. Moments later, that kind of, you know, put the game away.
Yeah, it's one of those where, that is going to be like footage they just show to the team of like, hey, if Yordan can do this, everyone else can do this, kind of a thing. Of like, you know, hustle out of the box if the ball gets by in any situation because you never know what's going to happen. And then Isak comes through, like, he's been so much better after that early sluggish start to the season. Like, he's been everything you've hoped. And maybe he was right. You know, he did say, like, it was an adjustment playing all these different positions early in the season.
Don't give me that. That's such a loser's excuse.
I know, but like at the same time, it kind of has proved to be true so far.
Stop it.
Baseball players are weird, man.
Stop it.
They're weird. It's the only sport where like I will okay it because I'm normally with you 100%.
Never bothered Ben Zobrist.
But certain guys it would.
It's like, doesn't bother Yordan playing left field DH.
It's like closers. You know, closers are they can only close in close situations.
I don't like this take, Joe. I think it's a loser's mentality.
I think it's being proven true.
How?
He's been really good. Since he's been the third baseman.
It could have also just been a slow start.
Very possible.
That happens a lot as well.
That's true. But he said it, and then he's playing third, and he's been a lot better since. Sorry.
And then I thought it was – this is like way down on the list of importance from yesterday's game, but I thought it was kind of cool that Ryan Gusto against his former team. You know he averages under 94 miles per hour in his fastball. Yesterday he was throwing him over 96.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he wanted to shove it up the Astros' rear.
He was – you can tell. Did. He didn't like being traded.
No.
he did not like that. He was throwing – the hardest probably he's ever thrown in his career consistently. Yeah. He's like attack, attack, attack.
Showing a little gusto against the Astros. Anything else from last night's game you want to talk about? Am I good? Yordan hustled?
I mean, nice to see Souza back.
Oh, he looked dominant. Good call.
Like nice to see Souza back there. And just especially with having, you know, the extremes of Brian King of being, you know, setup man to Sugarland pitcher. And have Souza come in and look that good in last night's game, I think is a huge positive. Pena's leadoff home run. Like he is when he's out.
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
Just liking to be out there more.
I remember people were calling him Tim Bogar.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. They were calling him Tim Bogar.
That's tough.
I know.
But he's been on fire this month so far. Like it's a little early, but he's hitting 280 this month in July.
I like Pena.
Yeah.
I really like Pena. My biggest beef against Pena is that he gets hurt a lot now all of a sudden.
He does.
Remember that whole narrative at the start of the year that Chandler Rome was trying to put out there? Oh, Pena wants to play 162 because it kind of helped the whole infield surplus, you know, untenable, like, hey, clickbait, fearmonger. That was funny.
Yeah, because
he's had 2.5 IL stints.
He cannot play 162.
He's had 2 IL stints. Could have had one at the start of the year. Could have had one last week. Mm-hmm. He could have easily had 4.
Yeah, he's played in 55 games this year.
162. Yeah. Oh, what do you? Come on, man.
But,
come on. That's not realistic.
No, it's not. But, the last night's just a good win. Like, the Marlins are reeling right now. They've lost a bunch of games in a row. The Astros.
Was that intentional?
What?
The Marlins are reeling?
I don't think you know what? I don't think it was.
It wasn't, but I wish it was.
Because Jeremy laughed and you didn't react at all.
I didn't laugh at that, though, actually. That was just kind of coincidence. I was laughing at a text.
Okay.
I wish I could say it was intentional. That bums me out that it's not.
I would have given you like a 9.
I know.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's
but now
reeling.
It's like a 4 because he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah. It might be like a 2 because I didn't mean to do it. But they're playing bad. You won the series, now get the sweep.
Sweep would be nice.
Sweep would be very nice.
Gotta need some sweeps.
If they sweep every series, they're going to be a pretty good team.
I think they'll position themselves nicely.
Yeah.
I really do. I think you're onto something with that. Junkie says Emi is WTF in Astros translation. Another junkie says Emi is Japanese for Godzilla. He's either going to help your city or destroy it.
That's not bad.
Another junkie, Emi stands for FML. What is Emi? Well, Emi is Japanese for what? 713-780-3776. That Godzilla tweet reminds me. There was a... I can't remember the musical artist that was on the Today Show today, but they're asking about like AI. And he says he views AI as like fire. He's like, fire's really good when you use it the right way because like, can cook your food, you know, okay. Makes you know, make stuff, but it can also burn your house down.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a great analogy for AI. I wish I could remember who it was to give him credit. I'll just steal it. It's mine now.
Yeah, it's yours.
Yeah. AI's like fire.
Yeah.
It can help you cook the meal or it can burn the house down.
It can make everything look the same.
That's what Emi is.
Yeah.
Emi can lift you up and feed your family or he can burn the city down.
Yeah, make everyone want to go home and cry.
Mm-hmm. And without even getting through an inning.
Yes. Very quickly.
713-780-ESPN. We do have a few sweats of the day. We have 4 of them. We couldn't come to a consensus on a few of these. But we're on the Nationals minus a run and a half at plus 105 today. We're on Nationals Rockies under 11.5 runs today at minus 115. That game is 0-0 in the top of the 4th. We're on Arizona money line at minus 127, 0-0 through 2 innings in the desert. And then we're on the the over, 9 runs there at minus 115. So those are the games that we're on, in case you wanted to tell us, in case you wanted to fade us. On the week, we collectively are down just under a half a unit. On the year, we're up just over 4.5 units when we're all together. Whenever it's just these two bozos, they're minus 6 units.
Yes.
So, but that's not the case today. We collectively up 4.55 units.
I'd say this is more Will Kunkel's fault.
Yeah,
was he getting in on it?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
more
he was
Will
leading
Kunkel's
us down
fault.
Some bad directions. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think we put this all on Will Kunkel.
Yeah, because we went a little outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
With some of them, we did some anytime goals.
Oh gosh,
things like that, things that we don't typically dabble in.
You guys got really degenerate.
Yeah, we did, and it blew up in our face.
I mean, I did bet some like ATP Monaco yesterday. So,
and a soccer team we never heard of,
Lorne.
Yeah,
Lorne, they're my favorite club in Northern Ireland. 713-780
Is Finn Balor in the studio?
Yeah, maybe. 713-780-3776. You can watch along Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Sack by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. Emi is Japanese for fill in the blank. Also, question that I have for you guys. Junkies, Brian, Joe, anybody that wants to participate.
Junkie?
Will the Texans be better offensively this year than last year? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I would swallow my pride. I would choke on the rinds, but the lack thereof would leave me empty inside. Swallow my doubt, turn it inside out. Find nothing but faith in nothing. Wanna put my tender heart in a blender. Watch it spin round to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with you.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
It's White Boy Wednesday. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Please study the collapse of Austin Riley. Not really interested. He might give you one inning. He might give you six innings. Always bet the under on getaway Wednesday afternoon games. Yeah, we usually do. I guess nil-nil was the only thing that Jeremy took from the World Cup. Only thing. I took a lot of things from the World Cup. I took my passion from the World Cup. Emi is Japanese for fire. It can either help you cook your food or destroy your home. Key from L.A., y'all best hitter in baseball. Do not lead in any statistical categories coming in today. What do you mean? He leads in the Triple Crown, Key from L.A. Get out of here. You're gone. What a stupid text.
You are out of here.
Someone said my accent sounds Jamaican, not Irish. Read that one in a minute. It's a football text. I don't even know how to say this word. Emi Chumbawamba, I get knocked down.
Chumbawamba, you don't remember that band?
Is that the one, Donnie Boy?
Yeah, yeah.
Donnie Boy.
Yeah, that's the song.
Okay. I get knocked down, then I get up again?
Yeah.
That was the band name?
Yeah, Chumbawamba was the band name.
Chumbawamba? Did they do anything else, or was that just their one hit?
The only hit I know of is Tub Thumper, which was that song.
Oh,
that's the name of that song?
Yeah, Tub Thumper.
I have no idea.
What did he say it was?
Tub Thumper?
Yeah. T-U-B, Thumper. Tub Thumper.
It's right up Brian's alley. Please study the collapse of Zach Gallen. Please study the collapse of Stephen Kwan. Please study the collapse of Brian King. Okay, the last one maybe. I don't really pay attention to much Major League Baseball outside of the city of Houston. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I watch very little Major League Baseball outside of the – I watch every Astros game, sometimes more than once. I do not watch any other baseball team, club outside of the Astros. Unless it's the postseason, then I will.
Yeah,
same thing I do with the NBA.
That's baseball. Yeah, I mean, that's how baseball and basketball work. Like you – the only – like the national sports are the two footballs, college football and the NFL.
For sure. I try to watch
maybe
every NFL
basketball.
Game. Yeah, for sure, college basketball.
Just because there's more prime, like, the Monday night games and things like that. Like
NFL, I'm going to try to watch every game this season.
You said that last year.
I mean, I got like 60% of them.
That's pretty good.
60% of them.
So you're going for 100%.
I'm trying to decide on what I want to do. Do I want to try to attack that? Do I want to try to aim for that? Do I also want to do the All-22 stuff? I don't know. I'm still...
There's at some point.
I don't think
like
I can do both.
Yeah, you have to
there's a better chance. There's a better chance I do neither than both.
I feel like you're going to have to at least watch the condensed versions of some of these games, right?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, because there's no way you have time of the day to watch.
No. You can't watch the full broadcast.
Yeah.
Now, you can watch say the Texans play at noon. Okay, you watch the Texans game. That's mm-hmm. one game. You pick a game to watch in the 3 o'clock window. Okay, yeah. There's your game. You have the Thursday night game, the Monday night game, the Sunday night football game. So you can watch almost a third of the games before you have to go to the condensed. But you can watch the condensed in 40 minutes.
Yeah, so then on like an average week you'll have...
So that's like 11 more. Let's just say 10 because you're going to have bye weeks.
Yeah, bye weeks and things like
so
that.
So that's actually pretty achievable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's 400 minutes. 400 minutes divided by 60 is what? Joe, what is it? What is 400 divided by 60? 60, 120, 180. That gives you in the ballpark. It's about a little under 7 hours.
Whatever you say.
A little under 7 hours. Doable.
Sean?
No, 7 hours would be 420 minutes.
I said a little under 7 hours.
You did.
Oh, my bad. I misheard you.
It's a key from L.A. response.
Sean told me I just shouldn't do math.
He didn't mishear you. He's just trolling.
Yeah. Huh?
Sean said I shouldn't do math anymore. So I'm just going to – you asked me a math question?
I'm not allowed to sing anymore, so there's that.
I'm just going to sit there and have dead air?
Yeah. Freeze?
Yeah.
I knew somebody that used to do that.
Exactly. That's going to be my version of that. Okay. You asked me a math question. You can make fun of me. You can call me stupid. You asked me a math question?
I don't call you stupid. I never called you stupid.
No, but you can.
I say stupid things.
I'm just saying it's acceptable. I'm not going to run from it.
I think it was Dan Orlovsky that said that once to Stephen A. Smith that he watches every game. And Stephen A. Smith like lost his mind. There's no way you can do it. It's pretty achievable. And if your job is an NFL analyst, I think you should do it.
Absolutely.
Like you should do that. If your job is primarily and only an NFL analyst, I think you should watch every single NFL game.
Yeah, you're going to be asked to talk about almost every single one. Like maybe if like the Browns and the Jets are playing.
I think you should watch it.
You probably should.
The condensed game.
You can escape that one if you need to. Yeah. Like one game a week that you can also be like, I don't really need to know this one. But early in the season, everyone's in it. And as the season goes on, like maybe you can trail off of, you know, focusing on the teams that are not going to be in the playoffs. But yeah, if you're like on ESPN, I think you have to watch every single game.
I think you do. If I were an NFL analyst, I would watch every single NFL game without blinking. I'd probably try to have it done before Tuesday morning. I would spend the entire day Monday watching Sunday games. Now, you're going to be on the air and you have to work that day.
Yeah, see, don't you want to have it done by Monday?
Monday before you hit the air?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be hard to do.
I know, but like...
It's going to be really hard to do, but to be complete by Monday.
Yeah.
You definitely have to prioritize the most important game. I don't think you can be done by Monday. Like, you're going to be watching games all Sunday. So maybe you can sneak in a game before Sunday Night Football.
You also probably have like a really nice setup to where you might be able to do... You're not going to be locked in on one game, but you might have two big screens.
Yeah, you have to be locked in, though.
One of these rich people.
I think, you have to be locked in.
I think you could put a lesser game on the second TV.
But it's not really watching the game. I think you have to do at minimum a condensed game of every single one.
No, I would agree. I'm not going to join you in doing
it. But you can do Monday. You wouldn't be able to be done by Monday.
Yeah, I'll watch Thursday, Sunday night, Monday night, Texans, Bears. So those would be my – and a 3 o'clock.
Why won't you won't join me on watching all of the games?
No.
You don't like football or what?
I do. That's a lot of work.
It's not a lot of work. Eh. I mean, you lay on your couch and you watch the games, Joe. You're not lifting logs here.
Yeah, the wife might kill me.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
That's the problem. That's really the ultimate problem here. It's like, you have to do what?
That's why I'm not doing both.
I have to watch 10 more football games before we can go to dinner, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah. DoorDash.
It's true.
DoorDash it in. The Astros lineup is out today, by the way. Jose Altuve is getting a well-deserved day off after hitting into a triple play yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Cash or trash? Jose Altuve should bat ninth.
Trash.
Why?
Trash.
Because he's still good enough.
Is he? Is he good enough?
To not bat ninth.
So here's my thought. And look, Jose Altuve, any given day, is not the ninth worst hitter, or ninth best hitter, or however you want to phrase that. He's not your ninth ranked hitter in any lineup, right? He's probably sixth, seventh. But where's Jose Altuve really good at? Where is he really good if you look at his career batting order positions? And I don't really care about that sort of thing, but I do believe a guy can set the table and a guy clears the table and their personalities make him good at one or the other. Sometimes you're good enough to be good at both. He's really good at setting the table.
Yeah.
He's really good as a leadoff man, mm-hmm. but he's no longer good enough to be a leadoff man. His numbers just do not support it. You can't lead off Jose Altuve with his meek slash stats, right? His meek on base percentage. But what if you made him your second leadoff? What if you bat him ninth and it's like, okay, Jose, I mean, he'd have to sign off on this. But Jose, here's what we're doing here. We're putting you in the ninth spot because we want you to be our second leadoff. We want you to spark the top of our order. And then so he's kind of a leadoff, not really a leadoff, but he's like a second leadoff. So like he's good in that role. then you have the protection of Jeremy Pena and then the protection of Yordan Alvarez. Maybe he, you know, he's it can make him roar again.
I see where you're going with this.
It's not because I think he's the ninth worst hitter in any given lineup.
The problem is just the rest of the lineup is so bad. Like if Yiner, like, to start, okay, Yiner would have to, I think, establish himself as a guy who can bat fourth. Like, Lamont Wade is batting fourth.
Lamont Wade with his 186 average is hitting fourth.
That's
today.
Why Altuve should still bat fourth. Because
I know, I disagree.
Everyone else is just so bad.
But Altuve hits into double plays and triple plays. He hits into more double plays than I think than anybody in baseball history.
Well, that's why I kind
of... That's a little bit hyperbolic, I get. But
I think that's why he should just lead off.
No, his on-base percentage is not nearly good enough. You can't lead off Jose Altuve in this day and age.
It's just the lineup's so bad.
He's got a 300 on base. You can't lead off a guy who gets on base 30% of the time. No chance.
But I don't want to put him ninth.
Why? Nine's better than one.
Well, we talked about yesterday. Baseball's going to find you. He's still going to hit into double plays when Christian Vasquez gets on.
Okay, but he gets on less often than the top three guys in the lineup.
Yeah.
His chances for hitting into double plays are going to be fewer because
true.
Of where he's at in the lineup.
Yeah. And you might not ever want to have, you know.
He shouldn't be protecting Yordan and Isak.
No, he probably, but the thing is, well, but no one in the lineup.
You're 100% right.
That's the problem.
You're 100% right.
Like, we both agree with each other, but we want to disagree. Because there's no perfect solution to this. Like,
no.
He shouldn't be batting fourth. Mm-mm. You need Yiner or Christian Walker to be good enough to drop him down. Like in a perfect world, if Altuve's not going to pick up his game, if Yiner can continue to play better.
He's been a little bit better hitting since the IL.
Now, still not fourth in the lineup, but like if Walker can turn it back around, like you could have Altuve bat, you know, seventh.
But at that point, why not just bat him ninth to spark the top of the lineup and then give him the protection? Because who, like, Jose Altuve still has obviously a good amount of talent left in his tank, right? Like, do you want Jose Altuve to have Jeremy Pena, Yordan Alvarez protection, or Lucas Spence to have Jeremy Pena, Yordan Alvarez protection?
Jerry, I mean,
yeah, that. Yeah, that's why I'm like, hey, the idea of batting him ninth, maybe you can get him going a little bit. 713-780-ESPN. Who is this guy calling in? We'll get to go out to the HRMP listener line. Rob, we couldn't see your name, Rob. Brian screwed up in the control room. 713. He didn't like that. Brian didn't like that I threw him under the bus like that. But we pull back the curtain here. We're inside baseball. We tell it like
me.
It is. Oh, it wasn't you? It was the
no,
intern?
It's our system. It's too complicated.
I mean, you fixed it pretty quick.
You know, but when it gets typed in by the intern, until I click on it, it grays out. But,
all right, so the intern can type it.
Yeah.
The intern can't click off of it?
No. For some reason,
you have to click off of it.
I have to click off
of it.
And
you hadn't seen
it. I hadn't seen it yet.
Okay, I blame the system. You're in the clear. You're good by me, Brian. Who's our intern today? I haven't been out there.
I actually haven't been out there either.
Oh, well, intern's not your fault.
It's usually Wyatt on Wednesdays.
What day is today?
It's Wednesday. It's White Boy Wednesday. So it's White Boy Wyatt? Is it White Boy Wyatt?
I think so. No. I haven't been out there either. I don't remember.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's Wyatt. I just yelled out his name.
Rob, 713-780-3776. Rob, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. This is a cash or trash, not will they, but should the Astros in the offseason start to broach the topic with Altuve of a buyout and the potential retirement while he's still in good terms with the fans?
I don't think you can. I know where your mind's at here, Rob, and I don't necessarily disagree with your logic here. Maybe you just shouldn't have re-signed him.
Yeah.
There's no buyouts in baseball. Like, if you were to say, you know, here you go, thank you for everything, best of luck in your future endeavors, you owe him every dollar on his contract. Baseball contracts are 100% guaranteed. So there's no buyout. You can't buy him out.
Yeah, I mean, next year is the last year where he costs you a significant amount of money. Like
well, the luxury tax is average.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I guess so it's cash, yeah. Which I wish, I hate that. I think
I like it.
I think it should be what their cash value is.
You can just manipulate it, though.
I know, but that's kind of how we got into this Dodger situation, is the way that they're manipulating.
Well, that's different. That's with deferred money, which that should be illegal, too.
Yeah, like I think it should just be... It should make it more simple in baseball.
Well, I think this is the most simple way. It's just the defer. Their rules and deferrals are dumb.
Yeah, it kind of is what it is. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to retire and leave this money on the table. Maybe you could talk about in 28, you could buy him out.
Well, there's no buyout.
Like, we'll just
convince
him
to retire.
Like, hey, can we give you
$50 million on the book? Well, I guess
can we give you a one-day signing bonus of $18 million to not play baseball anymore?
But the other thing is, is he chasing 3,000? Because if he is, he's going to have zero desire to do that.
How far away is he?
A lot. He's a lot away.
He ain't going to get there.
I think if he chased it, he could. But it might take an additional 2-3 years for him to stick around. And it might have to be with somebody else.
Yeah, because it shouldn't be here.
I think he can still get to 3,000. I still think he can get to 3,000. It's just not going to be in this contract.
He's got 2,459.
He might get to 2,500 by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll get another.
Well, I don't. It's not a lock.
You don't think he's going to get 41 more hits?
There's 60 games left.
Okay, maybe you're right.
It's not a lock.
No, maybe you're right.
Boom. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
The All-Star break does problems with my brain because I feel like it still means there's 81 games left in the season after it, but no, that's wrong. You're right. He might not get there, but he'll be really close.
It's almost a coin flip.
That's probably at least 6 seasons then after the season.
Yeah.
And he's under contract for 3 more. I mean, like, if he wants to finish it here in Houston, he better be willing to play for $1 million a year. Like, that's all you can get of him. Nothing past that.
Yeah, they're trapped into the contract, unfortunately. It's why I'm a big believer in not paying players into their mid to late 30s. Because even the greatest, unless you're on steroids, Barry Bonds, even the greatest, they start to fade away into their mid to late 30s. I get why they did it on Tuve, but this is whatever. 713-780-ESPN. You don't even watch other baseball games. How can you say he's the best hitter on the planet when you're not watching the competition? Because I can look at a statistical leaderboard and see that he's leading the Triple Crown in the American League. It's not hard to evaluate other players without watching them, especially in baseball. A lot of people are sending us random thing. Didn't Hinch do that second leadoff man in the 9-hole during the playoffs, Eric the Buyer? If he did, who was it with?
Was that Mariznick?
I don't remember who he did that with.
Or Reddick?
With. No, I don't think Reddick ever hit ninth. Mariznick did a lot ninth. Why can't the Astros sign Wilmer Flores or Jesse Winker? They can. They just think he sucks. Jasper's got a kick out of the 6-7. All right, 713-780-ESPN. That's enough of that. Will the Texans be better offensively this year versus last? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You know what they say about me? They say that I have a good eye for basketball goals. They've always said that about me. Whenever I was a little one, they're like, yeah, that Branham, he knows how to see a good basketball goal. And that's why I have been attracted to the goals from Pro Dunk for a very, very long time. Because they make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Anybody can see it. And they've been serving the best goals since 1984. Don't waste your time in the big box stores. Those goals are no good. Get a goal from Pro Dunk. Tempered glass backboard. It's got a breakaway rim. Why do I need a breakaway rim? Because you're going to be throwing down some jams. You can lower the goal down to 5 feet, raise it up to 10 feet. It's great. Tight adjustable. Lower it down for you to throw down some dunks, raise it up to regulation. You or one of your kids wants to work on their shot. It's awesome. It's great. Great to have the option and the flexibility to do whatever you want with it. Stainless steel hardware, so you know it's good, and it's rust-proof, which is must-have in this Houston humidity. Thor's one of their newer goals. Thor's really cool. It has the lightning adjust feature. The lightning adjust feature is great. It allows you to raise and lower the goals, which has been something that Pro Dunks had forever, but now you can do it with a drill. It makes it easy to do, simple to do. You don't have to dust out the old broom and then try to find that spot where you can raise and lower the goal. No, you can do it with a drill these days. They've really been able to become sophisticated over there. But they have all the goals. They have in-ground adjustable, portable, wall mount, roof mount. They can do it all at Pro Dunk. Their accessories are the best too. LED light kits. You know, it gets hot during the day. You might not want to be outside when the sun is out. Plus, you're at work. Kids are at school. Maybe not right now over the summer. But once school opens up, they're going to be at school during the day. So get the LED light kit so they can play throughout the night. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. And they can install the goal for you, too. That way, you don't have to. You don't have to get a million pieces, you know, delivered to your driveway and you're trying to figure out, okay, A to B to C to... No, they're going to do it for you and they're going to do it perfect. Perfect height, perfectly straight. You need a goal from Pro Dunk. So order now at ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Tracking two games. Washington, Colorado, 0-0 top of the fifth. We're on the Nats minus a run and a half. Scoring runs would be nice, but we are on the under 11 and a half. Also, we're tracking Arizona and the Athletics. We're on the over 9 there. It's 1-1 bottom 4. Also have Arizona money line. So, I came across this looking at Stressons, actually. Stressons had, a little video with Jonathan Alexander. Does a really good job in the Houston Chronicle. Covers the Texans beat. Also, he had a thing on Nick Caley, offensive coordinator. Nick Caley talked to the media, basically pulled quotes from him, whatever. The thing that stood out to me was Nick Caley, seemed very confident. The Texans, will have an improved season. He's learned a lot. He's adjusted. Okay, that's all great, you know, reading it in theory, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes down to it, will the Texans be better offensively this year versus last year? Let me throw some numbers at you real quick. 2025, the Houston Texans averaged just under 24 points a game, 23.8, which was good for 13th in the NFL. I think a figure that actually surprises people at times. But in terms of yards, they were 18th in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So will they be better offensively than they were last year?
I wish there was a way to separate Kaimi out of this.
And defensive scores.
Yeah, just like so like I can see.
I mean, it takes a little math.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Again, we just said no more math on the show for me. Because I kind of accounted for quite a few points last season.
Sure.
I think it's very possible they have a better offense this year. I would expect them to. Year two, with C.J. Stroud and Nick Caley, you've attempted to revamp the offensive line again. You have a much better running back this year than you had last year. David Montgomery is significantly better than Nick Chubb. And then Woody Marks is in year two. Your wide receivers, your own core, like Higgins and Noel in year two. You've added to the tight end room. Yeah, they're going to have a better offense this year. I think the question is, like, what's the margin? Like, is it minimal? Because that's my lean right now, is that it's a slight improvement from 2025.
See, you make it sound like a no-brainer they have a better offense this year. I think it's a coin flip. I don't think it's a lock.
I think it's going to be better this year. Like, I think they're going to be able to run the ball more and be more effective, and they're going to have more success in the red zone and short yardage situations. Like, some of it's going to be feel. You know, it's not just going to be, you know, just based on the numbers, but yeah, I think the offense is going to be slightly improved.
Gun to my head, I think that too. You just said it with such conviction, where I'm like, I'd be a little bit worried I'm going to get shot. You know, like, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in the offense. So I think it's going to be better than it was a year ago. Sure. And one of the things I like to look at too is yards per drive and then points per drive, which can still be skewed based on the defense. But if you look at it that way, the Texans last year were 27th in yards per drive. They averaged 29 yards per drive. And then they were 22nd in points per drive with 2 points per drive.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, 3 points per drive leads the NFL by a considerable margin.
Okay, so it's a small gap there between.
I mean, the leader was the Rams at 2.8 points per drive.
Okay,
the Texans were at 2. So I would say that's actually pretty far off the lead.
Like, I think you'd want them to be in like if you can get to top 15 in that category.
I would take 2.5 right now. 2.5 would put you 8th place.
Yeah, get them to 15th place. I'd be fine with it from 22. Like, I think they can do that this year. I don't think it's going to be. Part of it is it's such a low bar, I just struggle to think it's going to look worse.
I mean, 13th in points per game is a better... 13th in points per game makes it look better than it was.
Yeah, that's why I think the points per drive is, I think, a better representation of what it was. It is a lot of field goals. It's not a lot of touchdowns.
What happened there, Brian?
He's struggling.
We at least got to take the Ravens game out of that, right?
But they're going to get one of those this year, too. So, like,
sure,
there's going to be a
game. I don't
know
if they'll get something quite that extreme, though. The Ravens were basically without every defensive starter.
But there's going to be one game where the Texans are going to crush somebody.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, and C.J. Stroud's going to have the best game of the season, and it's going to be an outlier.
And if he plays like that every game, he'd be the MVP.
Yep.
Exactly.
I think they can improve that this year.
Okay.
I really struggle to think it's like.
Well, I think they can. I'm not convinced that they will.
Yeah, I just don't know because I think a lot is being put into the natural proceed or get the guessing of everything will improve in year two for your rookies and of course Nick Caley. But
sure.
We saw that not to be the case with Bobby Slowick. It didn't get better from year one to year two. So I don't take that as a guarantee. And I can't also dismiss the possibility that CJ is just broken.
Yeah.
After what we saw in the playoffs.
Yeah, me either. I'm not sure that I don't have a quarterback that I can trust at the moment.
Yeah, that he's not going to go out there and just be a turnover machine all the time.
Because it's like, it's great in theory. Well, if they, you know, they're going to run the ball better. Okay, they might. But if it doesn't help your quarterback,
then what is it?
You're very limited.
Yeah. If he's just bad,
on what you can do.
Yeah. If he's bad, he's bad. Like there's nothing you can do about that.
Junkie says between the tackles, running back with two healthy knees should take pressure off of CJ. Yes, they'll be better offensively. And what metric? What metric? I think they're going to be better in yards per game. I'm not sure they're going to score more.
I think they could be more efficient, especially in the red zone.
Sure, they should. They were atrocious last year in the red zone.
But
really, really bad.
CJ is turnover prone. Like, does that really matter?
No, because it'll you won't get to the red zone a lot.
Yeah, see, like, that's kind of where I'm at.
You could be really good at it, but it's like, can they? And that also could be the case to your point this year. Where like they might improve in the red zone, like I was saying with David Montgomery and stuff. But can they get to that point, or are they still going to be relying on Kaimi to sometimes have games where he has four or five field goals in it because they can't cross the 30-yard line?
Last year,
the ball a little bit, but not a lot.
The Texans last year were the third worst team in the red zone in terms of scoring. Red zone penetrations that led to touchdowns, they were under 47%. They were third worst in the NFL. The only teams that were worse, this one actually surprised me, the Saints, and then the New York Jets, which does not surprise me.
No, and that's why, like, for me, it does feel like it's an easy yes, they're going to be improved because it was so bad. Like that metric, I cannot imagine they are the second worst or the worst team in red zone in football this year. But that's such a low bar. Like
Stroud can't beat you, what are defenses going to do?
Because I feel like when you typically ask this question of, like, is it going to be better? I feel like we're talking about, can you go from, like, 15 to 10? Mm-hmm. We're, like, not, like, we're talking about going from maybe, like, the 25th overall best offense in the NFL to maybe 20th.
No, if the Texans are top 10 in scoring, you get a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah, if it's just field goals and a couple more touchdowns, like, you're in a good spot.
It all depends on Stroud. All of these conversations ultimately is going to be, well, what does Stroud look like this year? And then how does Nick Caley help him? That ultimately is going to be the make or break of the season.
Mm-hmm. And with you guys, there's not reason to believe in CJ Stroud, that there's going to be like this massive jump in improvement. And it's to Brian's point that he's not just going to be kind of broken.
There's hope. There's not hope, but
there's equal reason for pessimism.
Oh, for sure.
You got that haircut, though. He's good.
For sure. I'm just saying he's not drawn dead.
But it's like to our conversation yesterday where our concern that he didn't have to go through adversity coming up through specifically playing at Ohio State. I know what his personal background is, but I'm talking about specifically playing Ohio State where he's got first-round picks on the offensive line, like five first-round picks, wide receiver. Like, I see the reason for optimism, but when he has a bad game, when he makes those bad decisions, does it all just start to domino on him? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think it will. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Speaking of quarterbacks, when we come back, I rank my top 32 quarterbacks at the start. Everybody's been asking for it, and I give you what you
Is
want.
Is that accurate?
Branham's top 32 starting quarterbacks ranked in order from 1 to 32. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Branham's top quarterbacks in the NFL entering the 2026 season. Junkie says listeners have been fired up about the segment on the socials. They are each and every summer. They're ready for it. Right around the All-Star break, they're ready. You're going to start seeing a lot of football here. You're going to start seeing a lot of football. Fantasy drafts are about to begin. Mm-hmm. Camp's about to be here.
Let's do it.
It's about to be a lot of football around these parts.
Can't wait.
Around all parts, quite frankly.
We're like 3 weeks away from preseason.
I know.
Like, it's right here.
Camp opens next week. Rookies have already reported. All 12 of them are hanging out in the headquarters. All right, so how do you want this? How do you want me to reveal this?
I think
you?
We go.
You
I
want
think we
10
go,
to 1? You want 32 to 1?
32 to 1, 5
You
question.
Want my backup, Sue, 64 through 1?
No, so I do
did
not.
Have a, I did have a
but
question.
But I agree, 32 to 1.
You don't know where Davis Mills is ranked, and my top quarterbacks in the world.
I was going to ask, did you have any consideration of, like, putting backups in front
not.
Of other quarterbacks?
I did not.
Because I do think there's a couple guys on this list that I would have put Davis Mills in front of.
No, same. I went starting quarterback on every same. Team that I'm
yeah.
projecting
yeah.
that I'm projecting to be the starting quarterback, and then I ranked those guys 1 through 32.
Yeah.
So I guess this is not a true top 32 quarterbacks in the world.
But it's the top 32 starting quarterbacks. Yeah.
Which my graphic that I made on my own says ranking every NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah, on Twitter, and it says made by Jeremy.
If you made by JB, it says. It says made by JB, made with JB. So if you want to follow along, see who I have, 1 through 32, at Jeremy Branham. So how do you want me to reveal these?
32 to 1.
You want me to go all 32?
Is that what I'm working
on? Let's do groups of 5. And we'll if we have any pushback.
Why would we do groups of 5 when we have 32 quarterbacks?
Okay, groups of 4.
I would expect that from Joe, not from you.
Well, we could get down to like the top whatever and just do the rest of them.
All right, 32 through 29. Deshaun Watson dead last. Kirk Cousins, who I think will be the opening week starter. In fact, Joe and I made the bet earlier in the show, where okay. I think Kirk Cousins is going to start more games than Fernando Mendoza this season.
Mm-hmm.
I have Tua at 30. I have Geno Smith at 29.
Okay.
All right. No argument yet. 28 through 25, I have Malik Willis at 28. I have Jacoby Brissett at 27. I don't trust Daniel Jones coming off an Achilles at 26. He was already pretty fringe. He had the best year of his life last year until he got hurt. I don't think that a guy like Daniel Jones off a torn Achilles is going to be any good. And then I have Jackson Dart at 25, which I'm probably lower on Jackson Dart than a lot of people, mainly because I think he's an idiot. I think he's too much of a bro. 24 through 21, I have Tyler Shuck, Bryce Young, Cam Ward, and give me the Grizzly veteran and Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
20 through 27, Jordan Love at 20, Brock Purdy at 19, Kyler Murray at 18, and then Bo Nix at 17. I have C.J. Stroud in the top half of NFL quarterbacks, guys.
Okay.
I have him in the top half of NFL quarterbacks. 16 through 13, well, C.J. Stroud's number 16. He's slightly above average.
Slightly.
Trevor Lawrence at 15, Baker Mayfield at 14, Justin Herbert at 13. 12 through 9, I have Goff at 12, Sam Darnold at 11, Dak Prescott cuts the top 10 at 10, and then Jaden Daniels at 9.
Okay.
8 through 5, Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts at 7, Drake May at 6, Lamar Jackson at 5. And this is whenever I should note to you, this is my list is based on who I would want to be under center for a big game tomorrow.
Okay.
So like my 1 through 32 is who do I want starting a game, all things equal, for me? Who do I trust in their resolve? Who do I trust their gusto? You know, their ganas, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how I rank my top quarterbacks, 1 through 32. So mine's going to be a little different than some because this is who I want at the helm to start big games.
Okay, so you have a quarterback who had 5 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in 2 playoff games in your top 16?
Stroud, you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you want C.J. Stroud or do you want Kyler Murray?
That's not the one that I'm looking at.
Can I give you my 4 through 1?
Yep, go ahead.
Josh Allen at 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to ruffle some feathers. Joe Burrow at 3. Matthew Stafford at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Mahomes at number 1.
Yep.
Pat Mahomes my number 1.
There's a lot of agreement I have in my list.
A lot of agreement?
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to say that.
I have...
Our top 4, same, but different order.
Okay, and you don't have to tell me your top 4.
Yeah, I'll save that for
later.
Friday.
Yeah.
Top 5, same, different order. There's some that are exact.
So what's
on
your
my list.
What is your biggest strife?
19.
You're high on Brock Purdy?
I have Brock Purdy higher than
I do too. I have Purdy considerably higher.
I'm not a Brock Purdy guy.
I think
Brock Purdy is incredibly average. That's a Mike Shanahan merchant.
Fine, but he's better than CJ Stroud.
I disagree.
Well, if he gets to start a game for you, isn't he starting for you with Shanahan?
No, I said all things equal. No, I didn't take current conditions. Because if it was current conditions, would I want the San Francisco 49er offense with Brock Purdy or the Houston Texans offense with CJ Stroud? I would pick Purdy in San Francisco. I'm saying if everything was equal, same offensive line, same receiving core, same running back, same coach, same play caller, you're playing in the same conditions, in the same stadium against the same defense. Ceteris paribus, I believe, is the phrase. If all things were equal, I would take C.J. Stroud over Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I would.
And I wouldn't back down off of that.
Yeah,
I'm not that high on Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's incredibly enhanced because he's in one of the most optimal quarterback scenarios in the world.
That's fine.
And I think if C.J. Stroud traded places with Brock Purdy, we would see C.J. Stroud put up amazing numbers, and Brock Purdy would look incredibly average to below average.
I think Brock would look at more average in this system. I don't think C.J. Stroud's smart enough to learn that system for Kyle Shanahan.
It's an easier system to learn. That's super quarterback friendly. He did it in year one.
Slowick, yeah.
Did you see what C.J. Stroud did in year one with Slowick in that quarterback friendly offense? And then he's going to go on West Coast steroids with Kyle Shanahan?
I don't know.
We'd be talking about Stroud as a top five quarterback if he had Shanahan for all those years.
I don't think so.
They dumb it down for you, though. Like that's where you're wrong on that. Like it's not harder to learn the West Coast. This is the hardest offense for a quarterback, the Urhart Perkins. That is the easiest offense to learn for a quarterback.
I think they're probably pretty equal, but I have them different. It's probably my biggest gap, I would say.
All right, what other strikes do you have? What other beasts do you have? Who did I have Stroud ahead of that shouldn't be ahead of him? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. Mike Colley, he knows about quarterbacks. He used to protect them, in fact. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, U of H class in 1990. Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there, he did not protect a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, but he does protect your businesses, and he does it so well. That's what HRMP does. They protect the interests of businesses, and they've been doing it for 25 years, a quarter of a century. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services like HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, and HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to nobody. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HRMP here at Gal. They're the best. I can attest to them. I can vouch for them. Anytime I have a question, quick response, easy to understand. I'm an email guy. They're quick with emails too. So let HRMP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Plus, you help out the employees of your business. They're going to love you for that too. So give them a call, HRMP, 281-880-6525. Let them tailor a plan for you, 281-880-6525. 6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.